Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Students returned to class at UNC Chapel Hill just a day after the second lockdown in 2 weeks. How some are struggling to cope with the new normal.
Plus, growing frustration after Wake Schools issues another early dismissal for Triangle High School. What was behind this latest issue?
And finally, Hurricane Lee is back down to a Category 1 storm, but look how huge it is. We'll talk about what the impacts will be here along our coast and into the Northeast.
New at noon, documents reveal new information about the criminal background of a man who prompted a lockdown at UNC Chapel Hill. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. 27-year-old Mikel Harris is due in court in about an hour, and our cameras will be there. WRAL's Monica Casey shares what we've learned about his violent past. Monica.
Chapel Hill police had outstanding warrants on Mikel Harris from earlier this month in a road rage incident. He now faces three additional charges associated with yesterday's lockdown on UNC Chapel Hill's campus. One of those is a felony charge of having a gun on educational property, and two are misdemeanors, assault by pointing a gun and communicating threats. Those arrest papers from yesterday's incident say Harris assaulted a man at the Graham Student Union by pointing that gun at him and threatening to kill him. UNC students have shared stories of running from that busy area and taking shelter. Emergency sirens sounded soon after, and campus was locked down until just after 2 p.m. Harris also faces three misdemeanor charges for that road rage incident on September 5th. Those documents say he waved a bat and displayed a handgun to another person, threatening to kill them. Those misdemeanor charges are assault, communicating threats, and going armed to the terror of people. Harris's first appearance will be here in Orange County Court at 2 o'clock this afternoon. Renee?
Monica Casey, live in Chapel Hill. Monica, thank you.
And happening right now in the WRAL Live Center this afternoon, NC House Speaker Tim Moore is questioning whether the campus should remain a gun-free zone. He says clearly this is not working. Earlier today, he questioned the state law banning guns on school property. He mentioned that students have asked him why they have to be unarmed when clearly there is a way that other people are getting these guns onto campus. He says that more gun control is not what he and fellow Republicans see as the solution to gun violence. He says that you are not going to just snap your fingers and get rid of guns. That is not reality. We will have more on the story coming up in our 5 o'clock newscast.
And as we've been telling you, classes are back in session today at UNC after a second lockdown on campus. Students and staff are once again expected to go back to normal. But WRAL spoke with a freshman today who says she is still trying to wrap her head around all this.
It's kind of hard. Like, can you really cope with this, like, that this is our reality? I feel like it's not really, like, processing fully, because how is that supposed to process? Because this isn't what it should be.
Counseling and psychological services are available to students who need support during this time, or you can call the number on your screen to talk with a mental health professional, 919-966-3658. When we are not on the air, you can also find the most up-to-date information on WRAL.com and our WRAL News app. This includes a timeline of yesterday's events and law enforcement response, as well as suspect information.
The Wake County School System is investigating why hundreds of employees did not receive their paychecks on time this month. Some employees who received their paychecks by mail waited more than a week after payday to collect their earnings. Spokeswoman Sarah Clark told WRAL News most mail paychecks were eventually delivered, but many employees had to pick theirs up in person this week in Cary. About 400 employees were affected. Several of them reached out to WRAL News to share their frustrations. They said they could not afford to wait this long to be paid, and they hope the school system can resolve this issue sooner if it ever happens again.
Just about 3 weeks into the new traditional calendar school year, and another Wake County school has dismissed early today. This time it was Athens Drive High School in Raleigh because of a power outage. WRAL's Ken Smith joins us with what we know about the loss of electricity over there at Athens Drive High. Ken?
Jeff, Athens Drive High dismissed about 4 hours ahead of the usual scheduled time. A school-wide power outage forced school leaders to dismiss school at 10:30 this morning. School usually gets out around 2:18 in the afternoon. After Duke Energy got the call, crews determined the issue was a buried line that needed to be replaced. That's about a six-hour job, according to Duke Energy. The start time at Athens Drive is 7:25 in the morning. Students we spoke with say electricity was out most of the morning.
I walked in and then like the whole school was just like dark. Yeah, I was wondering what was going on, so I thought like something bad happened.
Well, since August 28th, when traditional calendar schools started, at least four schools dismissed early because of HVAC issues. The schools were Apex Friendship, Millbrook, South Garner High, and Willow Spring High Schools. The air conditioning units weren't able to keep up with the recent hot weather we experienced. By the way, all after-school activities at Athens Drive High are canceled today. Now, if Duke Energy crews are able to successfully replace that line today, school will likely resume as scheduled tomorrow. Look for updates, of course, on our digital platforms and in our news starting at 4 right here on WREL. Chad.
We'll keep it tuned. All right, Ken, thank you.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, two former co-defendants of former President Donald Trump will go to trial in the Georgia election interference case sooner than the rest. Lawyers Sidney Powell and Kenneth Chesbrough did request a speedy trial. They'll have a joint trial starting on October 23rd. The remaining 17 other defendants, including Trump, will be tried at a later date. Now, the judge ruled against District Attorney Fani Willis's request, who wanted to try all 19 defendants at one time. The judge said that would just be too chaotic. It is too much. Again, a date for the others to be tried has not been set yet, but the court has received assurances that they would be ready to go to trial within the November-December timeline.
Hurricane Lee's forward speed is increasing as it moves past our coastline. From now through the weekend, there are several coastal advisories in effect due to the hurricane. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is tracking Lee's latest path and impacts for our beaches. Elizabeth.
We take a look at this. Boy, we've been watching this storm for a long time. As a matter of fact, it became a Category 1 hurricane last Wednesday, September the 6th. And so now it is back to Category 1. But you can see how huge it is. And of course, it is going to have impacts well beyond where the center of circulation is. As Renee said, it's picking up some forward speed. We're expecting it to do that. It's moving north at 14 miles per hour, up from 12 miles per hour at the 8 a.m. advisory. Now has winds at 90 miles per hour. We are not seeing any rain bands or even any cloud cover really from this system, and we probably won't. As it moves northward, some of the coastline could see a little bit of cloud cover. And of course, the coast will be where we end up seeing the bulk of the wind, but nothing like what will be closer to the storm. As a matter of fact, Bermuda being brushed by this just to the west certainly will have impact there. It's likely to be late this evening up to around midnight or so with 85 mile per hour winds. That's going to cause some storm surge damage and some wind damage as well as that moves past Bermuda. By 8 a.m. Friday, it's almost directly off the coast of Hatteras with 80 mile per hour winds. And then it continues to zip very quickly on up here toward the northeast, most likely making landfall there in Nova Scotia as we get into the day on Saturday, possibly as a level as a Category 1 storm. So there are some advisories for the northeast coastline. Just south of Boston, we have a tropical storm warning, and then most of the coast of Maine is under a hurricane watch right now. For our coastline, of course, we have high rip current danger. We've had that for the last couple of days, and that will continue through the weekend. It's going to be a pretty weekend at the beaches, but it's going to be dangerous to be out in the water. The purple area is a high surf advisory. Waves at 6 to 8 feet. That covers almost the entire coastline. And then the Outer Banks also have a coastal flood advisory, could see 1 to 2 feet of flooding along the Outer Banks. It is going to be beautiful for us the next couple of days. We're going to talk about a nice fall feel here coming up.
Looking forward to that. Elizabeth, thank you. Two people were shot overnight in Orange County. This happened on West Orange Street in Hillsboro, shutting down the street for hours. WRL's Brett Neese was at that scene all night where this happened.
Investigators are not releasing many details about this overnight shooting, but I can tell you that they were out there at that scene for over 5 hours collecting evidence and taking pictures. I want to show you some video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker to show you what that looked like. You can see plenty of crime scene tape that blocked off West Orange Street for over 5 hours. There were several evidence markers in the roadway as well. Then around 3:30, they took down most of that crime tape and centered their focus at one of the homes that is on West Orange Street. I also talked with people who live in that area. One of them tells me that two people were shot and taken to the hospital. This morning, first responder radio traffic is revealing possible details on how this unfolded.
We've got two victims shot. One's at 217, one's at 215. The one in 215 is out in the yard. 217 is a female inside the house.
I'm working to learn from police the current condition of those two people. I'm also asking whether or not they have any suspect information at this time. As soon as I get an update, I'll pass it along. In Hillsborough, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
And we have gotten an update since Brett Neese filed that story. The man in this story has died after his injuries. Three people have been severely burned because of a problem with certain Generac portable generators that are being recalled. The problem involves the fuel tank failing to vent properly. That can cause pressure to build up and spray fuel on a user when the gas cap is opened. There have been 27 reports of this happening, including three burn injuries. You can get a free repair kit from Generac. Five on Your Side is posting details about how to do that and exactly which models are affected by this on WRL.com. Just search recall.
Democratic lawmakers are voicing their concerns with the lack of a budget 2 months after its due date. This comes after negotiations between state Republicans broke down over video lottery and casino gambling. This is causing a delay on the whole budget being passed, which also includes Medicaid expansion and pay raises for state workers. Let's take a look at stocks now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average seeing a very healthy rally, up 272 points after strong economic data release showing that the U.S. economy is growing in a healthy direction. S&P 500 advancing 31 points and NASDAQ also up 100 points at this hour.
Next at noon, there is growing outrage over comments from a Seattle police officer after a student was hit and killed by a police cruiser. Hear what was said and what her family is saying about it.
Also, a new report about UFOs. What NASA says about the unidentified flying objects may surprise you.
Plus, United Auto Workers may shut down key parts of assembly lines if a deal is not reached with automakers. What could stop a looming strike before the clock strikes 12?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Outrage is growing following the release of Seattle police body cam video. The video appears to show an officer joking about a student killed after she was hit by a Seattle police cruiser. Steve Patterson shares the video and reaction from her family.
But she is dead.
Tonight, anger simmering in Seattle over what appears to be an officer's callous laughter in a disregard for human life. Seattle police releasing body cam video of Officer Daniel Otterer, who appears to be making light of the death of John V. Kandula hours after she was struck and killed by another officer's squad car in January.
I think she went up on the hood, hit the windshield, then when he hit the brakes, flew off the car.
Kandula, a 23-year-old grad student, was crossing the street when she was struck by a patrol car, reportedly going more than 60 in a 25-mile-an-hour zone, responding to a call.
It does not seem like there's a criminal investigation going on.
Otterer, who serves as vice president of the Seattle Police Officers Guild, was on the phone with Guild president Mike Salon, recorded on body cam. Only Otterer's portion of the call is audible, but later he appears to joke about settling with the victim's family.
Yeah, just write a check. $11,000. She was 26 anyway. She had limited value.
I was appalled. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. Anger, rage, so many emotions.
Seattle police say the video was discovered by an employee who became concerned after hearing the audio and flagged it to department brass. In a statement, the family says every human life is invaluable and should not be belittled, especially during a tragic loss.
That was Steve Patterson reporting. Seattle PD's accountability office is investigating the body cam to see if any policies were violated. Separately, King County's prosecuting office is reviewing the crash itself.
A luxury cruise ship that ran aground off Greenland's eastern coastline has been successfully freed by a fishing research vessel. The Ocean Explorer, carrying 206 passengers and crew, ran aground on Monday. The vessel failed to refloat after several attempts, raising concerns that it would be stuck for days waiting for the arrival of a larger Danish naval ship. Now, three passengers were placed in isolation after contracting COVID-19, but everyone else on board is said to be healthy and safe. The American man who was rescued after getting trapped in a cave in southern Turkey says he won't stop exploring caves.
You can get into a car accident. You can countless people get injured in their own bathrooms, in their own bathtubs and showers. Why would I stop exploring? Like, honestly, caving is one of the safer sports that's out there.
His rescue required an international effort. More than 150 experts from Turkey, Croatia, and Italy helped to free him. Despite the near-death experience, the 40-year-old said he wants to return to that cave.
I don't think anyone's surprised there. A report from a NASA independent study team is giving advice on how to better track unidentified anomalous phenomenon, or UFOs. As Madeline Rivera reports, they admit those flying objects are a big mystery, and their findings just scratch the surface.
In an unprecedented session of Mexican Congress, a researcher showed lawmakers what he and others say are bodies of non-human beings. None of these claims have been substantiated, but it's once again raising the age-old question of whether humans are alone.
If there are bodies out there, I got to see it for myself. I have to see it to believe it. I got to touch it, put my hands on it. I don't know what non-human biologics are. I would like to learn more.
Eventually, the public might get more information. On Thursday, NASA released its findings after an independent team's year-long study into UFOs.
I just hope they're completely transparent.
However, the report is only meant to inform NASA about the data it needs to better track UFOs, like using artificial intelligence and the public's input. They also say the threat is self-evident.
The top takeaway from the study is that there is a lot more to learn.
The group of 16 experts did not find that UFOs originate from extraterrestrial life, but they also did not have access to classified documents. Interest in UFOs is spiking after a whistleblower testified before Congress in the summer, accusing the U.S. government of covering up evidence of non-human intelligence, and that has some lawmakers wanting everything out in the open.
That's all I said during the hearings. Don't bring me any little green man. Don't bring me flying saucers. Just bring me transparency.
And that was Madeline Rivera reporting. The Department of Defense launched a website that allows the public to review declassified information on, they call them UAPs, most people know them as UFOs. It would also give government employees and service members a chance to submit reports about sightings.
Out in the open is what they were saying, right? So at least they're talking about it now, so it's something. We're talking about this cool down in our temperatures. Yeah. Elizabeth Gardner in the WRS Severe Weather Center. We're turning the corner now.
Yes, absolutely. The dew point is nice and low. It's continuing to drop, and we'll do so, of course, for the next 24 hours. Temperature's a little bit warm this afternoon. The wind is starting to pick up. We take a look at Wilson, and, of course, at the beginning of the newscast, we talked about the fact that Hurricane Lee will be passing hundreds of miles east of us, but will have some impact, and really the only thing that we'll feel here is breezy conditions. Not even windy, just breezy. Right now it is 81, and our dew point is 64. That puts us in the tolerable category. We'll climb on up into the mid-80s, and then drop off nicely. By 6 o'clock, we're back into the 70s, so it should be a really pleasant evening for us. We take a look at the big picture, and of course, we're looking at mainly clear skies right now. Our cold front is there, and it has fizzled out, and then here is Lee, and Lee will just continue to head northward, and again, I wouldn't even expect us to see many clouds from this, certainly no precipitation, but we'll probably have at least some wind to deal with, and it's becoming a little gusty out there right now. We have gusts to 17 in Durham and Raleigh, as well as Southern Pines and 16 and Goldsboro. The gusts are in the white box on the right. And where it's empty, it just means that there are no wind gusts happening there right now. Our steady wind is from 5 to 15. That is nothing that causes any issues. It's just a little bit breezy. We take a look at that continuing through the afternoon. We'll push it on out to about 3:15. We're gusting to about 15 miles per hour. At 6 p.m., it's definitely gustier along the coast. Kitty Hawk, Ocracoke, gusting to 30, 35, maybe up to around 40. Honestly, that's not that much different than what they would see on any summer day or any day, as a matter of fact, out there on the Outer Banks. It can be very windy there. But we don't really gust much past about 15 miles per hour. And then into tomorrow evening, we start to see all those numbers dropping off. Our temperatures right now range from mid-70s up in Roxboro to 83 in Fayetteville. So a big range in our temperatures right now. I have 84 in Raleigh, 82 Durham, 84 in Fayetteville. We have some cool mornings on the way. It's going to feel so nice tomorrow morning. 64 is our normal low. We'll drop down to 59 by sunrise tomorrow. Saturday 55 and Sunday 63. That's going to feel great for folks who like to get out early, go for a run. That Saturday morning exercise is going to feel phenomenal. Our normal high is 83, and we'll be very close to that for the weekend and early next week. But tomorrow will be a little bit cooler at around 80 degrees. And, of course, we have the muggy meter feeling good. Looking looking at dropping on down to around 61 this afternoon and then plunging down to 49 Friday, 56 Saturday. Again, these are not temperatures. This is the dew point. And so the lower that number, the less sticky it feels, the more comfortable it is. It does bounce up a little bit Sunday and Monday, and highs will be in the mid-80s, but a couple of days really feeling like fall. Beautiful for football Friday tomorrow. Game time temperatures will be in the low 70s, dropping into the 60s with sunshine and low humidity. And we get a redo for Saturday. Last Saturday, if you were at NC State game, you know, it was crazy with all the thunderstorms. Perfect day for football this Saturday. We'll see temperatures for NC State, UNC, and Duke. Those afternoon start times, temperatures in the mid-80s. And then at in Fayetteville State starts at 6 p.m., looking at 79 degrees. Heading out for the weekend, it's going to be great to be outside. Durham Center Fest, a great place to be. 84 Saturday, 83 on Sunday. There is a very small chance of a shower or thunderstorm on Sunday. Right now, it's a 20% chance during the day, a 30% chance overnight. We'll keep watching that, but right now it doesn't look like it's going to cause us a whole lot of trouble. Coming up, we have a couple of more systems in the tropics that I'd like to show you. We'll be back with that in just a bit.
Sounds good, Elizabeth. Thank you. Two North Carolina moms are taking their concerns over toxic chemicals in water straight to Congress. Today at 4, WRAL climate change reporter Liz McLaughlin speaks with the women and their efforts to get leaders to clean up and crack down on PFAS contamination.
And preventing a 2023 triple-demic. Five on Your Side breaks down the three vaccines on the market, who should get them and when. That is tonight at 5. Still ahead this noon. Would you rather work from home or in the office? We'll explain why that question is dividing some U.S. workers.
Oh, if we could work from home. Mm. Plus, curbing hate speech on social media. Why one organization says Elon Musk is not enforcing his own guidelines. A nonprofit says the messaging service known as X fails to remove posts that contain hate speech, despite being notified that it violates the company's conduct guidelines. The report from the Center for Countering Digital Hate comes after X sued the nonprofit over allegations that some of the group's previous research was derived from unscrupulous methods. Musk's lawsuit against the center is intended to put an end to any criticism.
90% of U.S. companies want to implement return-to-office policies by the end of next year, but that doesn't mean the work-from-home era is dead. Caroline Shively explains how big-name companies are grappling with what's best for their workers and their bottom line.
Do you or don't you prefer working from home? It's a debate that's got the country torn. Some like the flexibility. Others think face-to-face interaction is best.
Companies would love to have people back in the office 5 days a week, but they know that that's going to greatly cut into their ability to attract, retain, and engage the best talent.
But for companies wanting their employees back in the office, good news is a majority of workers who have returned enjoy it and say they are more productive, even if they came back begrudgingly.
You need to be in the office. You need that FaceTime. It's how humans interact. I mean, on the screen is not exactly the same.
Amazon is reportedly penalizing workers if they don't show up enough. Goldman Sachs wants their staff in 5 days a week. Apple, Starbucks, and Disney are also cracking down on attendance. Even the White House says enough is enough. The president is asking his cabinet officials to urge federal workers to return to the office this fall, a plea that so far has been ignored. And then there's Zoom, the company that made working from home possible. They want their employees back at least a few days a week if they live close enough.
They're landing in the place that I think most companies are going to land, which is some combination.
According to Bankrate, 2 in 3 full-time workers support hybrid schedules, but employees are still trying to figure out what their new norm will look like.
We're going to have a lot of trial and error through this process because we are shifting from the old workplace to the new workplace.
As Caroline Shively reporting, and some rural areas are fully embracing working remotely.
An 11-year-old is recovering after dozens of bullets were fired into a home. Where the investigation stands into who is behind the violent act.
Time's ticking down to avert a strike that could shut down some of America's auto plants. We'll explain why two manufacturers could keep workers on the clock. And you're looking at your winning lottery numbers on your screen.
shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
The Nash County Public School System has settled with the U.S. Department of Education over possible Title IX violations. This case stems from a story you saw only on WRAL last fall. In September, female students at Nash Central High School complained about offensive and harassing messages posted online. The school held an assembly for female students only. One student shared a recording from that meeting with WRAL, where administrators said the way the students dressed caused the harassment. The U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights opened an investigation, and the schools reached this settlement before it was complete. As a result, Nash County Schools has agreed to review its dress code for gender-based language. Administrators will also provide additional Title IX training throughout the school system and make students and parents involved in the incident aware of ways to file a complaint.
Today, the man charged with murdering a Moore County woman will be back in court in Montgomery County. James Dunmore was the boyfriend of Alicia Watts. He could face life in prison without parole or the death penalty if he's convicted. Dunmore has been in jail since his first court appearance on August 28th. A man is facing charges accused of armed robbery at a Walgreens. Raleigh police arrested 28-year-old Xavion Womack last night. Officers say the robbery happened earlier in the day, around 3:30 in the afternoon on New Bern Avenue.
We've learned there have been 12 fights at Northern High School in Durham since classes started just last week. 12. A student was stabbed Monday, sending the school into a lockdown. WRL spoke with Laverne Maddox Perry with DPS Student Support Services. She says there's a rapid response team made up of counselors, social workers, and other support staff that is able to report to schools in these situations. She told us about other plans in place to get students to talk to trusted adults in their high schools.
To provide social, emotional support through restorative practices, restorative circles, through journaling opportunities, just any way that we can get students talking about their feelings and providing adult, trusted adult support for them.
Maddox Perry says the district developed social and emotional curriculum in every high school to help students process emotions from events like the recent fights. She also says it's important for parents to communicate with their children about their emotions.
The United Auto Workers Union may opt to strike targeted auto plants if they fail to reach new contracts before tonight's deadline with Detroit's big three automakers. The current four-year labor deals cover 146,000 U.S. workers. It expires at 11:59 tonight. NBC's Jesse Kirsch shows us how workers are preparing for a possible walkout.
In Motor City and beyond, this morning, the drumbeat of a potential United Auto Workers strike is growing louder, and the clock is quickly running out.
We're willing to do what's necessary to win justice by any means necessary.
The UAW's demands for Detroit's big three automakers include a 46% pay raise compounded over 4 years. But according to the union, GM, Ford, and Stellantis are only offering between 17 and 20% raises over 4.5 years.
Mighty, mighty union.
And without new deals before midnight, the union says workers will walk off the job at all three companies.
You prepare to go on strike?
Absolutely.
What do we got to do, you know, to protect me, to protect my job, to protect my future?
Already, the union collecting donated food and toiletries, a reminder that if they go on strike, some workers may struggle to even pay for the basic things we all need at home.
But instead of having all of its roughly 146,000 Big Three workers walk out at once, the union is planning to only strike at specific facilities.
The impact could be just as great as if you shut down the entire company, because if there are no engines, no transmissions, that essentially shuts down final assembly.
In statements, Stellantis and GM both emphasizing good faith negotiations.
It's sure hard to negotiate a contract when there's no one to negotiate with.
Ford's CEO and the UAW's president trading barbs, including over what Ford is offering for workers' pay.
I don't know what to say other than we have put great offers in front of the UAW and we're waiting for the response.
The looming strike could be tough for car buyers, with the potential to limit choices on car lots nationwide. Repairs could get tricky, too.
If I can't get the parts to fix your car, it's going to be a huge problem.
That was Jesse Kirsch reporting. There are separate union contracts at each of the traditional big three. That means there could be a tentative labor deal reached at Ford and GM that keep those workers on the job, while employees at Stellantis could go out on strike. Ford has not had a national strike since 1976. In contrast, experts say Stellantis, which builds vehicles under the Jeep, Ram, Dodge, and Chrysler brands, could see workers walk off.
Police in Wake Forest are asking for help identifying suspects accused of stealing from the Lowe's on Galaxy Drive. Take a look at these surveillance photos. Police say these three men stole thousands of dollars worth of items. If you recognize any of these men, you're asked to contact Wake Forest Police. You may think you are cleaning your house, but the products you're using may be doing more harm than good. The hazardous chemicals they contain and the risks they pose.
Plus, are you itching to travel to another country or continent? Why, fall might be an ideal time to do it. Moderna's flu shot trial is showing promising results. Moderna says its experimental flu vaccine has a stronger immune response than what's currently on the market. The company says the mRNA 1010 shot shows increased immunity against four strains of the flu. Moderna hopes to get the final approval from the FDA in an effort to bring mRNA technology to flu vaccines. A new study shows dementia could lead to a declining sense of purpose. Researchers analyzed data of more than 30,000 people over the last couple of decades, and they found a lack of purpose was seen in the years leading up to cognitive impairment and dementia. The study says caregivers are key to helping people with cognitive decline stay engaged.
Cleaning your house with certain products could be harmful to your health. An environmental group looked at a variety of unscented and scented household cleaning solutions. Researchers found more than 500 volatile organic compounds, known as VOCs, in all products. The study says some of the hazardous chemicals can linger in the air for months and could cause asthma or other cancer risks. If you wear your dirty socks to sleep, you could be spreading bacteria to your bed sheets. More than 1,000 people were asked if they sleep with their socks on. Majority of those who wear socks to sleep say it's the same pair they wore all day. Researchers found socks worn all day could contain the same bacteria found in cockroaches and can easily cause infections. They recommend wearing a new, clean pair of socks if you must wear them to bed.
Air travel deals are falling fast this season. Still to come, what experts suggest you do to help save money on the best flights.
Plus, many models are in the spotlight, full of style this week. Why the runway will be full of specialty at New York's fashion show.
Welcome back. Here's a live look at Carolina Beach. This would be an ideal weekend to go in terms of just being on the sand and temperature-wise, 80s, but you do have to be careful of rip currents because of Hurricane Lee moving up the coast. You're watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Fall is almost here, and when it comes to air travel, prices are falling fast, especially for international flights. Jen Sullivan has a closer look and ways to find great deals on flights.
Airfare is falling this fall, and travel experts say now is a great time to book air travel, especially if you're looking to travel abroad this autumn and beyond.
Flight prices over to Europe are actually about to come down in a pretty significant way here as we get into the fall and into 2024.
According to travel app Hopper, autumn fares are 9% less expensive than last year and 10% cheaper than in 2019. Ticket prices for September and October are 29% cheaper than the average prices for peak domestic summer travel. And international ticket prices to some destinations have come down by a similar amount. Travel expert Scott Kai says lower prices are driving up demand among people looking to visit popular international destinations in Europe and South America.
Number of Americans traveling down to Mexico, 20% higher than it was in 2019. The number of Americans flying over to Europe, 15% higher than it was in 2019.
So, how to find a great airfare deal this fall? Kai has these three tips. One, use a price monitoring tool to get real-time updates and get notified when prices are at the lowest for your trip. Two, consider flying during the middle of the week instead of on the weekends. That increases your chances of finding a cheaper flight. And three, for overseas travel, consider flying over Thanksgiving. Kai says it's the hidden best week for international travel.
Especially if you've got the week off work, if the kids have the week off school, and if you're interested in those Christmas markets.
That was Jen Sullivan reporting. Google is updating Android Auto and software for vehicles equipped with Google integration. Drivers will now be able to join WebEx or Zoom meetings. The apps will work in audio-only format to make it easy and safer for drivers to join meetings from their car. Google is also rolling out Prime Video on the Google Play app. It will only be available on a select number of brands and only when the car is parked. Earth may not be within its safe operating space for humanity much longer. Scientists say humans have broken six of the nine planetary boundaries like climate, water usage, and wildlife diversity. Only ocean acidity, air health, and ozone layer are within limits considered safe, and both ocean and air pollution are headed in the wrong direction. I think we knew some of those.
Mm-hmm. Happy to say goodbye to the intense heat and welcome in those cooler temperatures. We are getting there. Today's a transition day, and it looks beautiful out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner in the WRL Severe Weather Center.
Nice to see all that pretty sunshine. Just a few puffy cumulus clouds out there, but we're not expecting any of those clouds to produce any showers today. We have a nice dry period all the way through until around Sunday, and then it looks like we could see a few showers then. A little breezy here in Goldsboro. We talked about the winds earlier. We're going to take another look at that, too, coming up, but a camera shaking around a little bit. It's pretty in Apex, Chapel Hills, courtesy of Top of the Hill Restaurant, and of course Fayetteville there, right in front of our newsroom, looking nice. Again, the big picture, we had a cold front come through. It has fizzled. We're going to continue to see a northerly flow bringing in some cooler, drier air. And then, of course, off the coast, we have Lee, which won't have any major impacts for us here, except it will become a little bit breezy. Our wind is coming out of the north. Now, of course, one of the reasons for that is the storm offshore. That's going to draw down some cool air overnight tonight. It's been a while since it's been this cool. 52 in Roxborough. Tomorrow morning, 57 in Durham, 59 in Raleigh, 60 in Fayetteville. That's going to be a big change from what we've seen over the last, months, really. Durham Bulls are going to cash in on some of that lovely weather, too. Tonight, this is their last homestand of the regular season. At 6:30, 78. Friday, 75. 82 Saturday at 6:30. And at 1 in the afternoon on Sunday, around 78. There's a small chance of a thunderstorm or a shower on Sunday. Bugfest happens this weekend, one of the most popular events at the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences. Temperatures will be in the mid-80s in the afternoon, lots of sunshine, low humidity. Saturday is going to be so pretty for whatever you have planned. Of course, between now and then, we're going to continue to watch the track of Lee as it moves past Bermuda overnight tonight and then moves on past us and heads up to the north. And of course, we talked about some of the potential impact for the northeast. It looks like it'll probably make landfall there in Nova Scotia late Friday into early Saturday, and just south of Boston there along Cape Cod, there's a tropical storm warning, and then along the coast of Maine, it's a hurricane watch. So we'll continue to watch that as well. Rip current danger high today. It was high yesterday. It'll be high all the way through the weekend, and of course we have a coastal flood advisory around the Outer Banks. It could see as much as 1 to 2 inches of flooding, 1 to 2 feet of flooding. That would be a little bit like storm surge there, and then high surf advisory with waves at 6 to 8 feet all up and down our coast. So three good reasons to stay out of the water. It's going to be a pretty weekend at the coast, but it's going to be a dangerous weekend to be in the water. A couple other things to show you. Margo continues to spin around as a tropical storm. It will dissipate, but our next system is highly likely. It's 90% chance that this system becomes Nigel. And here's a look way down the road. This is going to be next Monday at our two computer models, the American and the European, pretty well tightly packed together a week from now, sitting near Bermuda and then pulling away from the United States. And of course, a lot can happen between now and then, but that's certainly going to be interesting to watch. 5 years ago today, Hurricane Florence made landfall as a Category 1 storm in Wilmington. You know, it was Cat 5 way out before it made landfall in Wilmington. And of course, it moved very slowly and produced so much rain, almost 7 inches in Raleigh, 36 inches in Elizabethtown, and 26.5 inches in Wilmington. I know a lot of folks remember that. That was a big rain and flooding event for us. Nice and quiet now. Tomorrow's going to be gorgeous. Again, we start off with some cool temperatures with a high of just 80. We're in the mid-80s over the weekend and into next week, too.
Thanks, Elizabeth. A Girl Scout troop in Texas deserves a new badge for this one after a terrifying encounter with an alligator.
I always say I would do anything for him. Now I definitely know I would do anything for him.
Oh my, we will explain how they swam for their lives and made it to safety.
And still no jackpot winner, but maybe you won a smaller prize. Here are your winning Powerball numbers.
We wrap things up with a look at a few of the headlines we're following for you today. The Durham man accused of prompting a UNC campus lockdown appears before a judge this afternoon for the first time. Mikkel Harris is charged with pointing a gun at someone at an on-campus bagel shop. Officers arrested the 27-year-old at an apartment complex on Formosa Lane in Chapel Hill. Harris is being held in the Orange County Jail, and WRL will be there when he appears in court.
A man is dead and a woman is hurt after an overnight shooting in Hillsboro. Police found the 20-year-old man and 18-year-old woman with gunshot wounds on West Orange Street. We've learned the man later died. Police have not released the victim's identities or exactly what happened.
Athens Drive High School dismissed students at 10:30 this morning because of a power outage. Duke Energy is now on campus working to restore that power. They estimate it could take 4 to 6 hours because the issue requires the replacement of a line buried underground. Staff will remain on campus with students until each child is picked up from the school.
New York's Fashion Week highlights adaptive apparel for people with disabilities. The Runway of Dreams Foundation held a fashion show last night featuring models wearing clothing that are adaptive to their disabilities. The charity works with fashion brands to create easier access to clothes. More than 70 models took part in flaunting the clothes down the runway.
An overnight camping trip in Texas should come with an extra badge for one Girl Scout troop. Minutes after members of that troop jumped into a swimming area, the leader noticed something terrifying in the water. It was a 14-foot alligator swimming towards the girls. The troop leader jumped into the water between the troop and the gator to help keep everyone safe as they all swam ashore.
Some of us were freaking out a little bit because we just realized that an alligator was about to attack us.
I was close enough to get hurt. And I didn't even know it was there, so I should probably focus on my surroundings more.
Texas Parks and Wildlife shut that swimming area down for the rest of the day after the incident. The state agency has removed nuisance alligators from that park in the past and is now evaluating if the same needs to be done this time.
Our pet of the day is a hunk of love from the SPCA of Wake County. Hoss is a 110-pound gentle giant looking for a new home after its previous owners had to make the heartbreaking decision to give him up. The 6-year-old gentle giant is easygoing and well-behaved. He knows sit and shake. He is house-trained and crate-trained, and he enjoys playing, going out on walks, but most of all, lounging lazily around the house. For more information about Hoss the Boss, visit SPCAWake.org.
Looks like the boss right there. Here's a recall parents should know about: the brand of water beads that's already been linked to at least one death. 500 Sides shares where these products are being sold and the potential dangers that come with them. It's a beautiful day out there. Hopefully, as we turn the corner on this heat and humidity, we get into a little bit of fall-like pattern here.
Yeah, tomorrow is going to be the bonus day. If, you know, you're looking to get a day off, I just say tomorrow might be it.
Do it. NBC News Daily is up next on WRL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
You can get breaking news updates anytime with our WRL News app. We leave you now with a look at Carolina Beach. Wouldn't it be nice to be there? We hope you have a wonderful day.
Keep watching WRL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.